Divided Kingdom, the cutting edge news program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
We are transmitting live on Global Star, October 31st. This new program will air Wednesday, November 1st on WWCR on a frequency of 5.935 megahertz at 7 p.m.
Let's repeat that, Lou.
Yes, it's going to be on 5.935 megahertz. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we give thanks to the Lord. He led us to try to expand. And again, we thank Brady Murray, the station manager of WWCR. We thank all of the wonderful people there at WWCR who help us. We thank you, listeners. And if you would like to help us, we will have greater needs than before. But you've been helping us, and we just give thanks and praise to the Lord for all of you. And if you want to help us, you could write a check either to WWCR or one to Global Star Communications. And you can use money orders. You can send cash. We can use more postage stamps. Send it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28, and the person is Lou Caverly. And the town is Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we have a lot to bring you. And we tell you again that there aren't too many programs like ours, big or small, that do not have commercials and that do not make you just wait and wait and wait and be interrupted and interrupted. No, we do not do that. And our producer is God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we do our best to find the truth and to warn you of things that you need as people of God to know about, sometimes for your health, and then that can mean your spiritual health or your physical health. And so again, we rejoice that we've heard that Dennis Cuddy is improving. So that's really, really good. So now, Lou, continue.
The October darkness is merging into a November news blitz. At the top of the list has to be, as a first update, on the possible beginning of the Illuminati World War III plan unfolding. Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly's 2004 book, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, discussed the role of the Illuminati, formed by ex-Jesuit Adam Weishaupt, in fomenting the French Revolution, the Napoleonic Wars, World War I, and World War II. According to Myron C. Fagan, the First World War's purpose was to destroy Tsarism in Russia and to make Russia an atheistic communist nation. The Second World War would help build up international communism until it equaled the strength of the Christian world at that level. It was to be kept in check until needed for the final cataclysm for social transformation.
Yes, Lou, and a necessary part of the historical record must include letters that were between Italy's unification leader Mazzini and the U.S. head Freemason czar Albert Pike. And in these letters, once again, these hopes and plans for that World War III were envisioned far down in the future. And now, of course, we have to wonder, did Adam Weishaupt ever really leave the Jesuit order? He seemed to maintain friendly contacts after he had formed his Illuminati. And, of course, is this really the Illuminati for a cover of the Jesuit plan, which eventually wants to have a world theocracy rule? And that, of course, would be headed by Rome. And so we have to note, too, that these political Zionists that you're going to hear me mention are not just ordinary Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, according to his scriptures. No, they are New World Order minions, and they are powerful moguls. And these can be possibly people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. You know, maybe the Rockefellers don't fit this, but the Rothschilds do. And they have been, let's say, absorbed into the rest of the New World Order top-level people. In fact, there is a nickname for the Rothschilds, and it is the Guardians of the Vatican Treasury. So now, this is the quote from my book. Sickler quotes Myron Fagan concerning the Third World War. And if this is not a patriot's warning with a timely ring, then what is? The Third World War is to be fomented by using the so-called controversy agents of the Illuminati, and they would stir up between political Zionists and the leaders of the Muslim world. That war is to be directed in such a manner that all of Islam and political Zionism, Israel, will destroy each other, while at the same time, the resisting nations, once more divided on this issue, will be forced to fight themselves into a state of complete exhaustion, physically, mentally, spiritually, and economically. The stage will then be set to put the one world government into operation. And Lou, I have to add there that we can see all these multi-pronged attack factors, like the food factories being blown up, the fossil fuel places being destroyed by fires, all of this devastation, the smoke, the wildfires in Canada, all of this in Maui, this is to weaken us. So you see, they're going for a state of complete exhaustion. And so last week, October 26th, we had vital news about Tyson Foods about to produce bugs. That's cricket protein for our food. And if you didn't get this, it's under the World Economic Forum aegis, too. You can visit our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com to hear that October 26th program and that crucial info. And now we move right into our news blitz that Lou mentioned, the two top stories being a part of, and that is the Israel war and the main shooter details.
The People's Voice on October 18th gave us a look, it looks like long-ago Illuminati World War III is being co-opted. Coaxed into being. A variety of headlines tonight are very concerning. First, U.S. draws up plans to use military force in Middle East if Iran enters Israel war.
And now we have to interject again.
Yes.
There's a listener who doesn't like me interrupting, Lou, but some of you do, because we each sometimes have things that occur to us that are very pertinent. And what I have to say is very pertinent. The late Dr. Stan Monteith was always studying this possibility of us being led into a war with Iran. And I remember that he used to have a number of programs with Joel Skousen talking about when this Third World War would come. And one time we interviewed Dr. Stan about this very thing some years back, I think more in the Bush years, when it looked as though the neocons were trying to get the war started then in Iran. And Dr. Stan, of course, told us about the earlier betrayals in World War II, in which some of our leading companies, Ford being one of them, supplied materials for the Nazis, built trucks for them, and this continued, this kind of a travesty, into the Vietnam War. So this is something that we have to be watching to know that this war may be an artificially fomented thing to help take away our freedom. You know, the Patriot Act, a lot of us were here. We remember when that came after September 11th. That was not just an accidental thing. And so we're being moved by all of these prongs toward this one world government. And as we've told you many times, we must be watching very carefully in 2024 when the World Health Organization meets again and tries to get that pandemic treaty through for the whole world so that they will have jurisdiction, even here in America, to come and give force injections to do whatever they want to do, turn it into some kind of a world martial law. So you see, our program is very important, and we do need your prayers for our continued strengthening and health. And Lou appreciates your prayers especially. There's something that must be resolved, and we think over the next couple months it will be resolved. And we're praying for all of you. And please, please don't get any more shots. Okay, Lou, let's get right back to this Iran business.
Yes, House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul has announced that his committee is drafting legislation to green light U.S. military force in the Middle East should the conflict between Hamas and Israel spread. McCaul first told CNN on Monday of the draft authorization for use of military force, and it's abbreviated AUMF, quote, in the event it is necessary, unquote, due to a wider proxy war with Iran. Next, we have from the People's Voice, I take that back, from the Gateway Pundit, on October 23rd, report, over 12,000 U.S. troops aboard 10 warships advanced to the Middle East. This is by Jim Hoft, October 22nd. Amid the escalating tensions in the Middle East, over 12,000 personnel from the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps aboard 10 warships have either reached or are en route to the eastern Mediterranean, as reported by Nikkei Asia, citing data from the U.S. Navy. On Saturday, Defense Secretary Lloyd J. Austin III announced a series of actions aimed at bolstering the United States military presence in the Middle East. The USS Dwight D. Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group has been redirected to the Central Command area of responsibility. Then we have, and this is from Infowars.com, October 23rd, Ron Paul, Biden election strategy, let's fight three wars at once. President Joe Biden announced last week that the United States would be funding and possibly fighting three wars in three different parts of the world at the same time. It is an ambitious foreign policy for a president who doesn't even seem to be able to express a coherent thought without the help of a teleprompter. Nearly every word of Biden's speech was untrue, including the preposterous suggestion that, quote, American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances are what keep us, America, safe, unquote. U.S. interventionism in Ukraine for over 10 years and in the Middle East for decades has brought those two regions to the brink of an explosion unlike anything seen before. And if that's not enough, Biden's neocons are also determined to take us to war with China over Taiwan. The world is literally falling apart in front of us, as Biden claims we are the only thing holding it together.
Then we have the People's Voice, October 27th, U.S. forces conduct airstrikes on Iranian proxies in Syria. U.S. forces carried out airstrikes on what it said were Iran-linked militants and installations in eastern Syria. Multiple targets were reportedly hit. The strikes came after the Biden administration pledged retaliation for attacks on U.S. personnel that Washington blamed on armed groups backed by Iran. The Pentagon said on Thursday that U.S. and allied forces in Iraq and Syria had been attacked at least 16 times this month by, quote, Iranian-backed militia groups. Zero Hedge reports, according to a statement by Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, today at President Biden's direction, U.S. military forces conducted self-defense strikes on two facilities in eastern Syria used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, and affiliated groups. Fox issued the following breaking detail. F-16s and F-15s were used to strike targets in Syria earlier tonight in retaliation for the attacks on U.S. troops in the region. Earlier in the day, there were reports, though with few details, that U.S. forces in the same northeast region of Syria came under attack, as has been happening in the last several days. The Pentagon had also earlier announced that over a dozen U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria have suffered traumatic brain injury, TBI, in the aftermath of drone and rocket attacks on U.S. bases in the region. Below is the full Pentagon statement, which seeks to emphasize that this new high-risk military aggression is supposedly, quote, separate from the Israel-Gaza conflict. The United States is also seeking to reassure a region which is clearly at heightened risk for breaking out into major war that it, quote, does not seek conflict. But the long-running military occupation of Syria's oil and gas region suggests otherwise. And this is Elizabeth. According to the articles earlier in the day, October 27th, quote, there were reports, though with few details, that U.S. forces in northeast Syria had come under attack. Now, this is a suspect phrase, quote, with few details. Furthermore, the Pentagon's report that there were over a dozen troops in Iraq and Syria who had suffered, quote, traumatic brain injuries from the drone and rocket attacks makes us ask, why is the impersonal war-facilitating Pentagon suddenly so concerned and having such a humane side to care about its U.S. soldiers when precedents in the past have treated them like the dumb farm animals Kissinger described, cannon fodder for the global elitists? Having them endure things like the forced anthrax vaccine decades ago, and most recently, the COVID jabs that became agents of incapacitation and killed many American military. Also, who really did strike the U.S. foreign installations? We wonder, Biden says they were Iranian-backed militia groups. But remember, some years back, how Syrian President Assad was blamed for chemical attacks on his own country, Syria. But afterward, the truth came out. It was a false flag by Western powers. Now, were these latest strikes done by militants, perhaps not under the aegis of Iran, but more likely under the U.S.-backed and trained type of ISIS?
And now, video. Biden says U.S. has an obligation, that's in quotes, an obligation to be involved in wars in Israel and Ukraine. This is by Steve Watson, Infowars.com, October 16th, 2023. During a CBS 60-minute interview over the weekend, Joe Biden argued that America has an obligation to get involved in foreign wars, adding that, quote, we can take care of both of these, unquote, while referring to the conflicts in Ukraine and Israel. Host Scott Pelley asked Biden, are the wars in Israel and Ukraine more than the United States can take on at the same time? Biden replied, quote, we're the United States of America, for God's sake. The most powerful nation in the history, not in the world, in the history of the world. The history of the world. He continued to blather. We can take care of both of these and still maintain our overall international defense. We have the capacity to do this, and we have an obligation to. We are the essential nation, to paraphrase the former Secretary of State. And if we don't, who does? And this is Lou speaking. We note that the attacks on the USS military bases in Iraq and Syria came at just the right time, October 19th, as Biden addressed the nation, ready to beg Congress for more money for both the Israel and Ukraine wars. And then we have the everything bubble, led by Bonds, is about to burst, just in time for World War III. This is from Natural News, October 22nd, written by Ethan Huff. Right now, the situation with the markets and the financial system at large might be described comparatively as a terminally ill patient, barely breathing on a life support machine. While attending doctors, tell the family that everything looks on the up and up. In other words, the situation is really ugly behind closed doors. But those doors are about to be swung wide open for the world to both see and experience. Take the ongoing bond bloodbath, as Wolf Richter calls it. Delusions about the Federal Reserve's fight with inflation are finally giving way as reality sets in that inflation is not going away. It is not transitory, like notorious liar Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen kept saying, and that does not really appear to be any way to stop it. Long-term yields are right at the point of breaking 5%, The last time this happened was in 2007. And we all know what happened immediately after. As explained by the Daily Doom, this represents, quote, a huge regime change after years of the Fed's QE, that is quantitative easing, and interest rate repression. And all prior assumptions are out the window, unquote. Basically, we are entering uncharted territory as the long-term Treasury market wakes up from its delusion about inflation and interest rates normalizing before once again descending. This is simply not going to happen, no matter how much the money masters want to pretend and tell us all is the case. And here we have a quote. Delusion ends hard when the denial breaks up, and the Fed's financial demolition is accomplishing that destruction now, writes David Hagedorn. And he adds, if it doesn't, inflation will do the job for it, unquote.
And now, next up, we told you, listeners, we would have more details on the story of Robert Card. So here at National File, we have the headline, DOD was aware of Maine shooting suspects' prior threats. This is by Charles Downs, October 26, 2023. The United States military knew Maine shooting suspect Robert Card was experiencing mental health issues, yet did not discharge him. Last summer, Card was only hospitalized for a few weeks after threatening to attack a National Guard base. Many are wondering how Card was allowed to be released after making such a serious threat. Instead of blaming the military, congressional Democrat leadership in the House is blaming the Second Amendment for the Maine shooting. According to the U.S. military court martial law, Article 115 makes it illegal for members of the armed services to make threats against U.S. military bases. The minimum punishment for service members found guilty of violating Article 115 is mandatory discharge, followed by 10 years minimum of confinement. Many are asking why the United States military did not court-martial Mr. Card following the threats he made against his colleagues. If Card had been court-martialed, Card would be sitting in jail on a military base instead of committing mass murder. Instead of blaming the breakdown in the U.S. military bureaucracy, Democrat congressional leadership is blaming the Second Amendment for the Maine tragedy. Democrat House Leader Hakeem Jeffries posted to X, quote, heartbroken by the news of another deadly mass shooting in Lewiston, praying hard for all of the families impacted by this tragedy. Congress must act to combat the gun violence epidemic and stop the carnage. Republican leadership in the House has yet to point out that the United States military failure to court-martial Card played a significant role in the shooting. House Republicans would be wise to open an impeachment inquiry into Secretary of Defense Lloyd James Austin III over this incident. The buck in military leadership stops with the Secretary of Defense. It's Austin's responsibility to ensure a system is in place to jail military members like Card before American citizens are harmed.
And from the People's Voice, CIA mind control. Maine shooter started hearing voices after getting mysterious hearing aid. October 28, 2023. The family of Robert Card, the man accused of killing 18 people in Lewiston, Maine, have shared several details with police about how Robert began hearing, quote, intrusive voices, unquote, shortly after he was fitted for high-powered hearing aids. According to NBC News, Katie Card, who is married to Robert's brother, told reporters that Robert began to hear horrible, that's her word, horrible voices instructing him shortly after he received the mysterious high-tech device. Katie Card told NBC, quote, Robert was picking up voices that he had never heard, unquote. And she went on to say his mind was twisting them around. He was humiliated by the things that he thought were being said. The U.S. government publicly admitted as far back as 1974 to using devices that are capable of transmitting intrusive thoughts, and that phrase again is in quotes, intrusive thoughts directly into people's skulls. And this is Lou. Next, we have within this article, PearlWire.com, the Army's very strange webpage on voice-to-skull weapons has been removed. It was strange it was there, and it's even stranger it's gone. If you Google it, you'll see the entry for voice-to-skull device. But if you click on the website, the link is dead. The entry is still available on the Federation of American Scientists. And it has an elaborate schematic diagram here. And below it says, the Army's very strange webpage on voice-to-skull weapons has been removed. And, it repeats the same thing there.
Could you describe any of the things on that schematic? Maybe read a little bit of the things involved there?
Yes. It says a steady tone near the high end of the hearing range, say 15,000 hertz output, is now a more or less a steady tone. And it's coming in from this apparent hearing aid. Each vertical line is one short pulse of microwave signal. So somehow this apparently is converting into microwaves at a frequency to which the human brain is sensitive. Then brain converts the train of microwave pulses back to inaudible voices. There is no conscious defense possible against this kind of hypnosis. So they're comparing it to, obviously, hypnosis here. And it goes on with some other diagrams. I won't read it all here.
These are things that Dr. Nick Begich warned us about years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. And the article goes on to say, the entry, still available on a Federation of American Scientists website, reads, quote, the UK-based group Christians Against Mental Slavery first noted the change. They also have a permanent screenshot of the page. A representative of the group tells me they contacted the webmaster, who would only tell them the entry was, quote, permanently removed, unquote. And this is Lou speaking. As police state censorship tactics continue, even I, Lou, was thwarted trying to get an article for you all that had a headline about new success in aerosol spraying of messenger RNA, mRNA nanotechnology, on the public, in the atmosphere. I looked at the alarming article and headline, and when I tried to print it, it would not print. It gives me a little message saying, basically, can't do it. We can't print that.
In other words, was it deleted?
No. Not exactly, or the entire thing would have just come up a blank.
Oh, you mean the whole website might have blanked out?
Yeah. Or when I tried to bring it up, see, it was transferred onto Microsoft Word. And somehow there was a hang-up there, and this only happened on that one particular website. And everything else worked just fine. So I believe now we go over to you, Elizabeth.
These things are things that we have to note. And you know, as you were reading that, Lou, I heard a term I had never heard before, these Christians concerned about mental slavery. Do you see that again?
Let me double check that.
We're going to find out a little bit more about that group, possibly.
Yeah, that's exactly the title, Christians Against Mental Slavery. It's a UK-based group.
Oh, Christians Against Mental Slavery.
Yeah.
Well, hoorah for them. Okay, then the next thing we have is from the People's Voice. This was October 28th. Main shooter was found dead with two gunshots to head. Media blackout. Just what you're saying, Lou. There's a blackout.
Yep.
You're not going to go find these things that we're telling you about on CNN or on Fox or MSNBC. So we do ask you for help. You can send a little cash. We have many, many bills, and we need prayer for our book to emerge. We're awaiting final contracts on it. So that is COVID and the coming chaos. We need prayer to protect our book and to bring it out, bring it into being. And there are going to be costs. So anything you can do to help us, or write a check or a money order, these can be somewhat anonymous. If you put cash in the mail or a money order to Lou Caverly, the cash or the money order, but you can also write checks of any amount, $50, $100, $20, to either Global Star Communications or to WWCR. Now, let's announce again, we now have two nights of news on WWCR at WWCR.com and on their shortwave. And the first one is Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 5.935 megahertz. 5.935 megahertz. And the program we are doing right now with Global Star will be that program on November 1st at 7 p.m. on 5935. Then, of course, the next evening, Thursday, is our regular program, 4.840 megahertz, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we invite you to go back to our website, too, and tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. So now, let's get this story about the main shooter found with two gunshots to head. Robert Card, the man accused of the mass shooting in Maine, was found dead in the woods with two gunshot wounds to the head, according to initial reports. The wounds indicate he was killed by somebody else. However, within minutes of media outlets reporting on the story, the references to the two gunshot wounds were erased from the Internet. The LibertyDaily.com reports, whether it was a mistake or a deep state cover-up, we'll never know because both scenarios would play out exactly the same in corporate media. Here is the original tweet, though the story that it links to has changed. We are attempting to find a cached version of the original story, but so far it seems to have been completely scrubbed. According to the newest version of the article, Maine mass shooter Robert Card has been found dead in the woods with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his head, ending a 48-hour manhunt involving over 300 members of law enforcement. Androscoggin Sheriff's Office wrote on Facebook, the suspect is Wednesday night's shootings. In Wednesday night shootings has been located and is deceased. Boy, that's about as succinct as you can get it, Lou.
That sums it up pretty good.
The useless eaters that we all are, that what Hillary called the deplorables, we don't need to know nothing about nothing, you know? We don't need these bothersome details. We just open our mouth and they spoon force feed us with the pablum. Isn't that about it?
That's it. Turn on that TV and sit down in front of it with some good popcorn or other little snacks and devour the news.
As it devours you.
Yeah.
So back to this article, Card. Now remember, this is the sanitized version we're getting. This is not the two gunshots to the head. Card 40 was found near Lisbon, where his car was abandoned shortly after Wednesday's massacre. His body was reportedly located near a recycling plant from where he was recently fired. NN reports, and we don't know what NN is. I don't know. National News? I don't know what it is.
Know.
We don't know either. Maybe someone out there can tell us. Capital N reports. According to multiple law enforcement sources, the gun investigators believe Robert Card used to murder 18 people and injure more than a dozen others was legally purchased days before he was hospitalized in order to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. You know, I didn't read that right. I said the gun investigators. I ran that all together, but it was the gun, investigators believe that he used, you see, was legally purchased days before he was hospitalized in order to undergo a psychiatric evaluation.
The weapon was a Ruger SFAR chambered for powerful .308 ammunition, according to sources. Military snipers firing at great distances and large game hunters favor the .308 caliber. It's broader and more potent than the standard ammunition carried by soldiers and SWAT teams in their rifles. A ballistic match has not been validated, but sources say the weapon discovered in Card's 2013 white Subaru Outback appears to be the same one used by the shooter at the bowling facility and the local bar. Now we go to Gateway Pundit. Here's a interesting viewpoint on the other war besides the Israel situation. Washington Post CIA article signals that U.S. is preparing to jettison Ukraine. This was by Larry Johnson, October 26, 2023. Martinov always is very generous in his reactions to my posts and often highlights them. Now it's my turn to return the favor. I was planning to write on this article, which appeared on Monday in the Washington Post, Ukrainian spies with deep ties to CIA wage shadow war against Russia. And was pleasantly surprised to see that Andre posted a video that cuts to the heart of the matter. Enjoy. This article is the consummate CIA. How so? The article has several sources describing all of the great stuff CIA was doing to help Ukraine. In other words, all the good stuff that was achieved was because of the CIA. But the article also details some heinous and feckless acts by Ukraine's various spy agencies and raises the possibility of more mayhem in the future. Message? All the stupid SH is the fault of the Ukrainians and being done without the approval of the CIA. Andrei dives into the subject around the 8:30 mark in the following video to explain. The CIA is taking a preemptive measure to distance itself from murder and terrorism charges in fear of facing war crimes charges once Russia finishes Ukraine. I finally figured out the perfect theme music for Ukraine's president, Mr. Zelensky. It was a hit by Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me. Newsflash to Zelensky. America's president is a borderline Alzheimer's patient, and you think he's going to remember your name in 3 weeks? Good luck with that. There was a long-running soap opera in the United States, As the World Turns. I am thinking Zelensky, if he survives, will want to make the rounds in Hollywood, pitching a new soap opera, As the War Turns. It would be the story of a beleaguered Jewish comedian thrust into the seat of power, backed by a Nazi hordes, acquiescing to the sock puppet of a malevolent Uncle Sam in exchange for a steady supply of Colombian cocaine and bags of cash. You don't even have to be a great scriptwriter to produce entertaining content from this setup. The truth of the last 20 months is truly stranger than fiction. Maybe this is more like an international version of Yellowstone. The good news? Casting is a breeze. Zelensky can play himself. And now we go up to my home state, my native home, the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Once again, our diligent Massachusetts listeners are keeping us up to date on the housing crisis in the Bay State. On a previous program, we told you about Governor Mara Healey's efforts to select motels and hotels throughout Massachusetts for the housing of the flood of immigrants to the state.
And Lou, we have two contacts. One is not necessarily located in Massachusetts, but is in the Northeast roving around, and the other one is in Massachusetts, and this one who is giving you all these details apparently was a newspaperman. You see, we now I believe we have three listeners, two women who were writers. The one was a newspaper woman, and the other one wrote for magazines, and we have this man. We believe that these people are seeking the truth because they remember when journalism was a real profession and it had integrity. They want the truth. So we are really applauding this man, aren't we?
Yes, we are, very, very much. He's
Go
given
ahead.
Us much good information. Now, these shelters for these immigrants were to be kept secret. But our Massachusetts contact has been successful in finding out where 15 of them are located. We gave you 10 a couple weeks back. The newest ones are in Westminster, in the north central part of the state, Quincy, just southeast of Boston, West Springfield in the Connecticut River Valley of Massachusetts. Saugus, I used to go through there on the way to work every day, just north of Boston. And Woburn, northwest of Boston. We also reported that many of the military families who had made reservations at hotels in order to attend the Army-Navy game, football game in early December at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, had their reservations canceled. The rooms were then given away to migrant families. Excuse me. One letter to the editor of the Boston Herald on October 1st said, quote, Massachusetts is the only state in the country that has a right to shelter law. This needs to be repealed. The world is a different place than it was 40 years ago when it was implemented, unquote. Our Massachusetts contact says, last week the Department of Homeland Security sent an assessment team to Massachusetts to study the situation, end quote. And I'll interject this. If they do for Massachusetts what they have done for the whole U.S. southern border, don't expect much. Governor Healey appointed retired Lieutenant General Scott Rice to be, quote, emergency assistance director, unquote. She said Rice has extensive experience leading large-scale emergency management operations. Those are her words, large-scale emergency management operations. This sounds ominous. It reminds us of one of my radio monologues, the template for future FEMA camps being designed. Boston Herald columnist Peter Lucas commented, quote, while it currently costs taxpayers $45 million a month to pay for the influx of illegal immigrants, that's a pittance compared to what the real costs will be unless Healey changes her position. He went on to say, she, like Joe Biden, has an open borders policy, and she's just filed legislation for an additional $250 million to pay for it. Hundreds, now thousands, of illegal immigrants, immigrant families, are quietly dumped into motels and hotels in unsuspecting communities, while people and local officials are kept in the dark. And when they are reported on, like in Foxborough, Healey is, quote-unquote, distressed. She should be. She sent them. On October 8th, the Boston Herald columnist Howie Carr wrote, Mara Healey doesn't care. She's in love. After dumping her elderly gal pal, the judge, now Mara set up late housekeeping, one county over, with a much younger woman who used to work under her. It's a story as old as time, unquote. And so that's the way things are in my old home state. And now, next, Elizabeth has a little update about what happens when a deplorable asked Hillary a taboo question.
Yes, and boy, that situation is really heating up there in Massachusetts.
It is, yeah.
Well, this is the People's Voice. This is October 28th. Audience member dragged out after asking Hillary why Bill flew to Epstein's Island 26 times. An activist was kicked out of an event featuring Hillary Clinton after he confronted the former First Lady about her husband Bill's trips to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island. Hey, Hillary, why'd your husband visit Epstein Island 26 times? Prolific predator poacher Alex Rosen shouted at Clinton on Friday during a rally in Houston, Texas, for Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee's mayoral campaign. Following his legitimate question, Rosen was immediately assaulted by security guards who quickly removed him as the upset crowd of liberals erupted in anger. Rosen later posted to X that he's not suicidal. Flight logs filed with the Federal Aviation Administration have shown former President Bill Clinton flew on the deceased convicted pedophile's private jet, dubbed the Lolita Express, at least 26 times. And he reportedly ditched his Secret Service protection for five of those flights. The incident comes as Clinton recently got into a heated shouting match with an anti-war activist at another event earlier this week. And I think, Lou, we're back to you. Oh, no, we're not. I cannot overlook this one. That this is an update, listeners. We kept telling you about our October 26th program, and please send others to go to dividedkingdomradio.com to read our essays. It's still a pertinent radio monologue there about the darkness as October ends here, as we're really recording this on Halloween. So you might want to go there and look under Breaking News at dividedkingdomradio.com and download that radio monologue and share it. So on October 26th, we first told you about the big changes coming to Tyson Foods. Now, here's a little more. From Natural News, this is October 26th by Olivia Cook. Tyson Foods invests in Dutch firm Protix BV, and that's spelled capital P-R-O-T-I-X, capital B, capital V, to make Americans eat Z-bugs. Meat processing giant Tyson Foods Incorporated has invested in the Netherlands-based insect protein supplier Protix BV to build an insect ingredient facility in the United States. The company announced this endeavor in an October 17th press release. According to Tyson Foods CFO John R. Tyson, their partnership represents the latest strategic investment that will drive added value to Tyson Foods' business as the meat giant seeks to diversify its operation. Tyson Foods' global scale, experience, and network as one of the largest food companies will combine with Protix's technology and market leadership in the insect protein market, which is expected to be worth around $3,715 billion by 2032. Oh, Lou, it's echoing in your brain, isn't it? You'll have nothing and you'll be glad of it. You'll have no beef.
That's right.
You'll love those crickets.
Oh, I can't get enough of them. Yeah.
The article says Bloomberg reported that through a direct equity investment, Tyson Foods will acquire a minority stake in Dongen, Netherlands-based Protix BV, to help fund its expansion. But digging deeper, the partnership between Tyson and Protix has a more nefarious purpose. The Globalist World Economic Forum, WEF, headed by its founder and executive director, Klaus Schwab, has been promoting the Eat the Bugs agenda for some time now. The globalists argue that eating insects is better for the climate compared to consuming real meat. To this end, the WEF has been promoting insects as a better source of protein, with one such article on its website serving as an example. The July 2021 piece outlines several reasons why insect protein is purportedly, quote, better than livestock. First, it argued that insects require, quote, fewer resources than conventional breeding.
Studies suggest that for the same amount of protein produced, insects, mealworms in particular, require much less land than other sources of animal proteins, it said. It went on to say a study of crickets suggests they are twice as efficient at converting feed to meat as chicken, at least four times more efficient than pigs, and 12 times more efficient than cattle, unquote. The piece pointed out that raising insects for human consumption is, quote, more sustainable, unquote, arguing that, quote, insect rearing is less expensive than conventional farming in terms of CO2, water, surface area, and raw materials, unquote. Protix is a fully integrated insect ingredients company in operation since 2019. This is Lou speaking. Wow, that's a long time. Back to the article. Serving major global companies in the aquaculture feed, livestock feed, organic fertilizer, and pet food industry, as the demand for insect ingredients continues to grow. According to the East Bay Community Foundation, EBCF, Protix BV breeds larvae of the black soldier fly, Amishia lucens, for human consumption.
Yummy!
Oh, I can't wait to get some. The larvae are fed organic waste from the
food.
Oh, sounds better every time, doesn't it? The larvae are fed organic waste from the food industry.
Send some to Greta Thunberg, please.
Oh, she'll love them. Once the larvae grow, the adult insects are processed into ingredients such as proteins and lipids. Both companies have also entered into a joint venture to build and operate an insect ingredient facility in the continental U.S.
Stop. Hold it.
Yeah.
You know, if we come out of that humorous lapse we were in, did I actually hear you say that part of the ingredients were industrial waste? Or am I imagining that?
Oh, no. It didn't say that. It said organic waste.
Oh, it did say organic.
Which I guess is better.
It did not say organic industrial waste.
No, it didn't say that, to
but
be fair.
But what in the world would organic waste mean?
Mm.
Oh, could it mean body fluids and things flushed down the toilet? Because
probably.
That, in a sense, that's organic. It's living matter.
Yes.
See, this might be a different definition than organic food, you know, non-GMO.
Yeah, most probably.
You know, there's probably some loophole like that. Oh, pick up that story. This is really revolting.
An enclosed system to support all aspects of insect protein production, from the breeding, incubating, and hatching of insect larvae, will be housed in the to-be-built facility. Tyson said, quote, "The insect life cycle provides the opportunity for full circularity within our value chain, strengthening our commitment to building a more sustainable food system for the future," unquote. And it says related. This is a related article. Tyson invests in plant-based meat alternative company. Products include pea protein burgers and soy chicken strips.
We have to interrupt. We had a program one night in which we talked about Beyond Meat and a lot of the ingredients that were not helpful to humanity in it. And one thing was the pea protein. And yours truly had kidney stones from the year 2011 till 2022. And during that time, I did not realize that for some people, foods that contain things that can build up uric acid. Some of these foods would be dried beans, for example, gravies. They could play a role in continuing these kidney stones. But the other thing was, we had bought one of these early plant-based types of legume pasta creations. It was a kind of lasagna that you didn't need to cook first. You could just layer it in the pan, put tomato sauce over it, but it had pea protein. Now, it might have said green pea protein, I'm not sure, but you know, last year when we brought out this information, I stopped making that, and the kidney stones stopped. I might have had one episode this summer in which I thought perhaps there was some pain, perhaps a little stone was going, but nothing like before. So why are we having these ingredients that harm us? And I believe the article that we brought out that time about the pea protein said it was very hard on the kidneys. I think it was toxic. Pick up those ingredients, okay?
Yes. Do you want me to repeat some of that?
Yes, let's repeat that.
Oh, let me see now.
You can find where that was. They were putting in this kind of organic waste, and what else?
Oh, yes. According to the East Bay Community Foundation, Protix BV breeds larvae of the black soldier fly for human consumption. The larvae are fed organic waste from the food industry. Once the larvae grow, the adult insects are processed into ingredients such as proteins and lipids. And the article concludes, and this is a quote, "We are very excited to announce the next step in our international growth strategy," said Protix CEO Keyes, K-E-E-S, and I guess it's pronounced Arts, A-A-R-T-S. And when he went on, or she went on, I'm not sure whether it's male or female, Tyson Foods, this is that quote, "Tyson Foods and Protix's strategic partnership advances our joint work toward creating high-quality, more sustainable protein using innovative technology and solutions," unquote. And I'll say that it's innovative, all right?
It is. Is that it for that article?
That's it for that one, yes.
Well, we have to comment that good, real food is disappearing quickly. And we do urge all of you to stock up. And as we've always heard that wonderful older broadcaster Hawk say, go out and get yourself another can of Progresso soup. And we do ask for deep prayers for Hawk. We've learned that he has probably cancer in the lungs and is not doing well. So do pray for him. Lou and I only came upon him just about a year ago through Captain Daryl Eberhardt, I believe, alerting us to his program. And I was so happy that we heard one evening in which he told how he was called to be a watchman. And Lou, I think if you can remember too, I believe that his wife was with him, and they were, I believe, sitting in their living room, and there was an angelic visit, and I believe it was Michael, or was it Gabriel? Do you remember which?
You know, I think it's Michael, but I'm not positive.
I think
about
so.
That.
But at any rate, the angel's message to him was that the Lord wants you to fight against the New World Order minions. I believe that's pretty close, isn't it? Isn't that what you remember?
That's pretty close, yes.
To warn and fight
yes.
against the evils that they were bringing with the one world government. So we will pray, all of us pray for Hawk, and we will continue to pray for each other. And we do pray for Don and Sherry's family very often because they have been innocent victims of the COVID shots. It's just such a bad thing. And, you know, now we're really relieved that many times, you know, Lou and I would be at this point in the program in which we have maybe 5 minutes left or not quite, and we would look down at the stack of things and think, oh, a lot of this was so immediate, we'll have to wait till next week. But we won't. Tomorrow night, we hope that you tune in again to The Divided Kingdom. And again, that is on 4.840 megahertz at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, WWCR.com. And we're looking for a God of miracles. We know what happened to listener Tammy and Eddie down there in Florida with that dome of protection when the hurricane came, and they had gone out like in the Old Testament way, and they had hung some scriptures on their trees, and around them there was devastation later. But they were unharmed. And this is what God can do if you continue to repent daily, and you pray to him, and you trust him, ask him to direct your path. That's what Lou and I are doing, and sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we're not feeling that well. But then we look around, and we see people who are much, much sicker. A dear friend of ours has been married, and shortly after the marriage, and about 15 years ago, the husband had a brain tumor, and he still has it. And now he has to live in an assisted living facility, and he's begun to have seizures again. So please pray for Bill. His name is Bill. None of us probably listening have as much of an ordeal as he and his wife have. But God can lift, and those people have great faith in Jesus. They are Christians. So God will help all of us, and we ask you to tune in. You can hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. You can hear us on K-Star Talk Radio. Go visit those websites, and you will find times you can hear our program. It's been a pleasure, hasn't it, Lou?
Yes, it has.
Get a sign-off for us.
And we just invite you to stay tuned again tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
5936.
That's right.
Good night.
Good night.